Spring into deals at Lowe's. Shop select 1.5-gallon annuals hanging baskets, 2 for $15, for the perfect addition to Mom's garden. Plus, get 3 free bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil when you buy 3. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/6, excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an APP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click become an EPP, and thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, something is seemingly checking in on a family while they sleep. A business trip leaves a sales rep with no option but to stay in a haunted inn. A teen calls home to let the family know when he'll be home. Only the family believes he was home, carrying on a conversation with them for hours. And what I think may be one of my favorite headlines ever. Cats come to the rescue as a teenage girl is being attacked by a possessed man.
Yep.
I love that. Those stories, your calls and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. That's like the ultimate cat lady headline. It's like, see, this is why I have cats.
I know.
Just in case the mailman becomes possessed, breaks into the house, they will save me.
You know, if you weren't allergic, you'd be a cat lady.
Well, I'd be a cat man.
You'd totally be a cat lady.
Why would I not be a cat man? Why do I have to be a cat lady?
Because you don't hear about men with hordes of cats. You only hear about ladies with hordes of cats.
It's because it's socially acceptable for a man to have 42 cats, but for a woman,
I don't know.
I don't think it's ever socially acceptable to have like 42 cats, no matter what situation you're in. I love cats. If I wasn't allergic, you're exactly right. But that would be something like right there. That story would be one of those things that would be like something my mom would use as justification for someday having 30 cats. Remember that story you guys told about that person who was possessed and the cats? Yeah. Well, that's why I have 30 cats, just in case it happens. And it would be totally legitimate.
She would never have that many.
No, probably like 25.
No.
They would be named after all like classic rock singers as well. All the way down from like Elvis through like the classic rock years. There'd be like Eagles members. There would be like, and this is Don, and that, and they would just go through the whole thing. That's all the cats that she will have someday. Just wait. They'll make for a great Christmas card.
Okay.
I think they're exciting now. Just wait. 855-853-4802 is the phone over here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, and share your stories with us that way. So there are lots of ways to get your stories to us. Our first story of the day is this one right here. It's Philip from Northern Texas. I'm a regular listener to the show and have even called in a few of my stories, but something very strange happened to me last night, and I have to share. The previous house where I and my family lived had several paranormal incidents. However, nothing really major has occurred in the apartment where we've been living for the last 8 years, besides a small incident nearly a year ago. But that's another story. A quick background before I get too far. My wife and I have been sleeping in separate bedrooms for about a year. The reason for that is our current bed hurts her back when she sleeps. So she sleeps in a firmer bed in my 10-year-old son's room. Sometimes my son will sleep in there with me, but on the nights he doesn't, he'll sleep in his own bed next to the bed where my wife sleeps. Last night he slept in his room, so I was alone in my room in bed. Around 2:15 a.m., I was woken by my bedroom door shutting very loudly. I always close my bedroom door when I go to bed. I felt the bed move as if someone was crawling into bed with me. Figured it was my son. I didn't think of anything unusual was going on until I looked over and no one was there. Thinking maybe I dreamed it, I tried to go back to sleep. Then something poked my right arm. Again, nothing was there. Normally this would freak me out, but strangely enough, I wasn't scared. I tried to go back to sleep but couldn't, so after about 20 minutes, I went to the living room. About 3:30, I went back to bed and eventually fell back asleep after an hour. In the morning, I spoke to my wife and said, "I have to ask, did you look in on me last night around 2 or 2:15? She answered, "No." I told her what happened, and she then asked me if I looked in on them at 4 a.m., and I answered no, I was in bed trying to go back to sleep. She then told me she swore that I came into her bedroom and tried to call at her, saying, "Babe." I convinced her it wasn't me. Later this morning, we noticed that one of the bagged gifts under the tree was open. This gift bag was taped shut. The gift was for my wife, from my son. He wouldn't have opened it because he already knew what was in it. Strangely enough, I then told my wife something that happened a few days ago that I had forgotten about. One afternoon, I was sitting on the couch using the iPad when one of the little Christmas tree bell ornaments rang once. It wasn't a small ding, either. It actually rang like someone physically shook the tree. I remember thinking, that's weird, but didn't give it much thought when it happened. I told this to my wife, and she said, "Liar." I laughed, but convinced her that it really happened. Maybe a kidder at times, but this really happened. What gets me is all these incidents usually scare me, but this time around, I wasn't spooked at all. Maybe we have a curious Christmas ghost roaming around. Curious to get your and Jenny thoughts on the latest visitors. Love the show and have a wonderful Christmas holiday. Philip from North Texas.
Okay, well, I think there's a spirit there that is checking in on them and you know, being really confusing because everybody thinks it's the other person. But as far as the shaking,
my answer to this whole story is fracking.
I was going to say the shaking could be earthquakes. And I know he's in Northern Texas, yep. But they in Oklahoma and us have all had them recently. Yep. You know, I know some of my family down in the Dallas area has been complaining about them. So could be that. I don't know. But I do think there is another aspect to it that is not explainable.
Yeah, I mean, it is odd. I think there certainly could be something paranormal going on here. It's a very distinct feeling when you have the feeling of someone getting into bed with you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a feeling there. There's also obviously the audible thing of hearing someone call the word babe. Those are not side effects of these earthquakes that we're experiencing in this part of the country right now.
No.
Those are completely different. But, I mean, it is interesting to note because, I mean, the first time that I really felt a really strong earthquake, I was in bed too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was late at night and it felt like someone was shaking the bed. And I didn't know what was going on. And it was one of these little earthquakes that we're having. And the other night we were in our kitchen and we heard suddenly the glasses started rattling. And like, oh, maybe a train's coming by or something of that. No, it turned out it was an earthquake. So I think there's some elements here where it could not be the paranormal, strange, but not paranormal. Then the other parts, it's paranormal.
Sure.
You have a little mixture of the two. But when you have all these things that are not common occurrences that are happening at once, it's very easy to meld them all together.
Yeah, I seriously doubt an earthquake's going to cause enough shaking to unwrap a Christmas gift. So
that's true. That's another part of the story I didn't even think of. Yeah. That'd be one powerful earthquake for this part of the country anyway. So we woke up and everything was unwrapped. Damn, fracking. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Rob writes in, Dear Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm from the UK and recently working in the southeast of England. I booked in at the pub in a small town called Rye in East Sussex. That's a fun one to say. Sussex. I kind of butchered that a little bit. Small town called Rye in East Sussex. Just wanted a place to stay for the night, close to one of my customers. In the morning, I quickly found the pub on booking.com and thought nothing else about it. When I arrived late in the evening, I pulled up into the car park and realized it was an old-looking pub. Upon entering, I found out how old. Dates back to 1420. With the basement being even older, dating back to the 1100s. Wow. A quick bit of research on the pub quickly brought up that it was one of the most haunted inns in the UK and regularly has ghost sightings. I found out that room 5 was the one I did not want to stay in, with the reported ghost of a white lady that walks through your room staring at you. I was in room 27, was shown room 5 for a laugh. Upon walking in, though, I could feel a very heavy and depressing atmosphere and was glad I didn't get the room. I got to my room and found it a lot better and quite a normal feel to it. I bed down for the night and eventually fell asleep, but it was when I woke up in the morning I remembered what I had experienced, either during my sleep or not. I remembered a white lady walking towards my bed and then climbing onto me, pinning me down. She was dressed in all white and had a pale-looking face with white hair. I went to have breakfast and passed it off as just a nightmare. After breakfast, I went to go work only to find my car key fob had died. I couldn't leave. Not until I called out my breakdown service anyway. The car battery had to be disconnected and the key had to be rebooted in order for it to work again. Even the breakdown guy had never seen this before. I certainly hadn't. I've been working as a sales rep for 11 years now and have never had this happen to me. Was it just coincidence that it happened that morning, or was it that I was not meant to leave? Who knows? Other lucky guests have been woken up during the night to footsteps of a man in black walking through their room and down the hallway, only to disappear into room 10. One room has a rocking rock on its own and will sometimes have a lady staring at you from it. Well, the weirdest of all is a room where you can hang your coat next to the fireplace, only to wake up in the morning to find it dripping wet. The pub is called the Mermaid Inn, and I certainly won't forget my stay there. Keep up the good work. Love the show. Even from here in the UK, Rob.
That would be the worst. You're out having to find some place to stay, and your only option is a haunted place to stay.
That'd be awesome.
Ridiculously old. I can't even wrap my mind around what was going on back then, you know?
No, I mean, it was weird to look at the word 1100s. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, did I say that correctly? Because it's such a non-common thing to say.
Sure.
You know, when we're talking about haunted things. I mean, it's one of those interesting things, too, where we talk about haunted buildings and haunted places. And it seems a lot of the ghost stories that we have, the ghosts are, relatively 100, 150 years back max. Mm-hmm. But something like this, you know, you have to assume it goes back, you know, even further than that.
Oh, but the bulk of our stories come from the U.S.
Sure, sure.
So, and there's, you know, most of the country is only, you know, maybe 200 mm-hmm. years old that it's been settled. The eastern, sure. You know, the eastern seaboard and you know, the original colonies and everything are much older, but mm-hmm. you know, our neck of the woods, you don't find things much older than 1850.
No, and if you see that's pretty rare.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, wow. So that the 1100s in the basement, that means there was a different structure there. So This is the new building.
This is the new building.
The one from the 1400s.
And you know that basement and the new building, for it to be that old, has to be some kind of porous material that absorbs a lot of energy over a lot of years.
Wouldn't that be an interesting fixer-upper? We're going in here and we're going to knock out the walls. Oh, they have the old electric in from the 1700s. Oh, wait.
There wasn't electric.
Exactly.
Jeez.
Exactly. It's just candle holders. That's considered the electric. We're finding those in the walls. But that'd be interesting. Is there, because in the United States here, you know, we watch a lot of HGTV and stuff, and it's the renovation shows, and they're knocking out walls of older buildings. I'm wondering, maybe just wouldn't fly very well here in the U.S. You know, number one, I would assume there's some sort of version of that network over there. I know there's like a U.K. food network and all that. I'm assuming there's probably like a U.K. HGTV or something of the nature. Do they do renos on homes that old there? And what are they finding? I mean, it's interesting with the weird shit they find in the homes here from like 50, 60, 70 years back. I can only imagine what sort of things they find on shows over there like that. And one of our listeners over there can fill us in. I'd love to know if there's any shows like that, what they're called, because I'd like to look that up.
Yeah.
That would be really interesting to watch, just to see what they're digging up.
Oh, I wonder how many of their structures are protected, like by a historical society of some type.
Where you can't knock into it to, you know.
Yeah.
Sure. I wonder how strict it is, because I know in the U.S., they have really crazy strict laws on that stuff. I'm wondering if there's just, you know, so many of them over there that it's not, they're less restrictive because it's not as rare.
Yeah.
You know, because there's just so many.
There's more, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Interesting. We got on that whole topic, but it's interesting. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Keith writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. Been listening to your podcast for a while now and decided to share my story. By the way, I'm a female. Many people mistake me for a boy because of my name. This experience happened in July of this year. At the time, I was talking to a guy, let's call him Brandon, and he wanted to hang out one night after his night class. So he showed up around 10:30. And I didn't want to go far, so I decided to take him around my hometown. He'd never been to my hometown, so I decided to take him to my three favorite places. We ended up going to a lake and two parks. The whole night went wrong when we decided to go to the first park. The park sits beside a baseball field for kids, and on the other side of the field is a cemetery. Brandon didn't want to go to the park because of the cemetery, but I convinced him to. It was dark and kind of cold out, but the one field light gave us all the light I thought we needed, which wasn't much. So basically, we were sitting in the dark. He parked the car where there was the most light, and we sat down on a swinging bench just to talk. But 15 minutes into the conversation, he realized that he didn't have his wallet. So he went back to the car to look for it while I stayed on the bench. I watched him look for it, and eventually, he found it. As he was walking back, I saw someone walking towards the direction of his car. First, I thought that someone was taking a walk through the park, but I then realized that the person appeared from out of nowhere. I could tell that it was a man around 6'5 to 6'8 with a slender build. So Brandon sits back on the swing beside me, and I'm still watching the man. Man eventually stops when he gets to the front passenger seat and turns to look at me. Brandon drops his phone as he starts to look for it. I take my eyes off the man to look at Brandon for no more than 30 seconds. I look back to see if the man was still there, but he was gone. He didn't have time to walk off and get very far. It was like he had vanished into thin air. The entire time I watched him walk, I had the feeling like something bad was going to happen if we didn't leave, and I felt like the man didn't want us there. At first, I just thought that my eyes were playing tricks on me, but it wasn't until almost 3 to 5 minutes later that I knew why I had that bad feeling. I realized that the man never changed his pace or the direction that he was walking, but he had instead walked through the car and not around it. By this time, Brandon had found his phone, and I told him that I was ready to leave. To this day, I still haven't told Brandon about what I saw, and I doubt that I ever will. I haven't been back to the park at night ever since, and I don't plan on going at night ever again. I don't know what kind of spirit or whatever it was, but I still remember the fear I felt as I watched it walk, and I never want to feel it again. It was like he was warning us to leave, and I'm glad that we did. I and Brandon no longer talk, but I do still consider him a friend. I have many more paranormal experiences that I'd like to share, and I also hope to become an EPP soon. By the way, I love your podcast, and so do my friends. We can't wait to hear some more ghost stories.
Okay, when you realize that the ghost walked through the car, I don't think I could have held my cool on a date. I think it would have been, we're leaving this minute.
Would you have shared what you had just seen?
I think I probably would have. You know me. I'm not good at keeping secrets. And yeah. That's kind of my fault.
Like right away, like let's say it's our first date.
Uh-huh.
And we're out there and you see somebody walk through a car and we haven't really talked about ghost stuff much yet. So you don't know if I'm like into it, believe in it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you witness this happening.
Yeah. I might have told you just because.
Sure.
You might as well know what crazy you're getting into. So,
you know, it really would probably depend on who that person is. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as their, you know, level of believing in this stuff or understanding of it, as far as how they would react. And even then, especially if you don't know the person. I mean, in our case, we got to know each other quite a bit before we even actually met.
Uh-huh.
But let's just say, like, you didn't know the person at all, like completely blind date, other than like one email, like, hey, let's go meet. And that's all you know about the person.
Sure.
Even then, even if you really were into that, you would still have to take a step back and go, okay, is this person really seeing things or are they not quite there?
See, if it had been our first date, I firmly believe everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I probably would have said, I just saw a ghost walk through a car. And, you know, it probably would have either been... You would have been like, really? And believed me? Or you would have been like, okay, check, please. And either way, it would have been for a reason. So
yeah, that's true. That's true. I think I probably would have ran over there with a camera and probably started trying to take pictures or something.
Yeah.
Like, oh, awesome. Great. I can take use my, because I think I just got an iPhone at the time when we started dating.
Mm-hmm.
And I could, it was like the first generation of it. I could just go take pictures. I'd be like, great, I can try the camera and see if I can get some ghosts on it.
You didn't have an iPhone. You had some other kind of smartphone.
I thought I had, I don't know.
No, you had a different.
Was it a different type?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. iPhones come around since we've been together.
Wow.
I know.
Because I'm trying to think of like the apps that I had at the time on it. And that would determine, although that gets confusing too, because you're right. It wasn't the iPhone.
Mm-mm.
It was, yeah, I don't know what it was. I didn't know. 855-853-4802 as we play What Phone Did Tony Have When Tony and Jenny Started Dating? Round two, here's the next clue. Jason B. writes in, hello, writing in from Ottawa, Canada again. I've written in twice before about something holding me down in bed several times. I have another weird, creepy story to tell you guys. When I was a teenager, must have been back in 2000, I used to work until 7 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. and would bus to work around 6 in the morning. One day, after work, I decided to go visit a friend. By the time I left her house, it was just about 9 p.m., so I had been away from home pretty much all day. On the way home, I called my family to let them know I was coming and when they should expect me. My older sister answered the phone and sounded very confused. "Who is this?" she asked. This confused me, too, since she should recognize my voice. I told her it was me, and there was a long pause. Just silence. "Where are you?" she asked, sounding even more confused. I told her where I was and that I would be home in an hour or so. I could hear my mom in the background asking her who it was. When she told her it was me, I could hear my mother asking how that was possible. The house I lived in at the time had three floors. My sister's room was the very top floor. It was a loft. My room was in the basement. We were able to speak to each other without having to go up and down the stairs because the sound traveled very well since there was a huge open space between our rooms. It was actually quite convenient. My sister then asked again where I was. I was annoyed at this point and remember basically spelling it out for her, saying I hadn't been home since early that morning. Was at work, then went to a friend's place. It was now nighttime and I'd be home fairly soon. She said that was impossible because she had been speaking to me for hours from her room. My mom got on the phone and sounded very nervous and worried and wanted to confirm that it was indeed me on the phone. She told me what my sister had told me and asked what was going on because she heard me as well. Apparently something was able to convince my mother and my sister that they were both speaking to me, even though I wasn't home. If that isn't creepy, I don't know what is. They never went downstairs to see me, but I'm very curious if they would have seen me too.
How many times can you say me?
Me.
That is just to convince your mom. I mean, you can play a trick on your sibling.
Sure.
But to convince your mom, moms know.
Mm-hmm. It's an audible doppelganger.
Yeah, it is.
That is a very interesting question at the end, though. If they would have gone down, would they have seen him?
I bet they would have. I bet it, you know, would have manifested to look like him.
What was the purpose? What was the... That's the thing. You look at a story like that and go, okay, did anything else happen after that? I'm assuming nothing else did, the way it was just kind of left like that.
Yeah, what was the ghost... What?
Why? Yeah. Why was it doing that?
Yeah.
So bizarre. I like, it's a good story, but it's just, it's so, I have no answers. That's one of those stories that really just kind of leaves you perplexed. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that with me, me.
With you, and just you.
I'm looking at the word me as I'm saying that, so I say the word me, because it's so many times in that story. Just me, not Jenny, just thank you for sharing it with me. Something I get perplexed about, and this is something that I was confused of earlier today. I was confused about it earlier in the week. How is it that we have not mastered the public bathroom toilet paper rule? And I'm talking now, there's some that work really well, and there's some where I believe the roller is too big for the roll, and then the roll does not roll when you're trying to get the toilet paper. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
How is this still an issue in 2016? How have we not mastered? Because I hate that. You only get like one square off.
I thought that was the purpose of it, was to limit how many squares you can get at one time.
Is it a limiting device? Is that what?
I think so. A lot of schools have those.
It's so difficult because you need more. Nobody uses just one square.
No, but.
They should at least have a couple. Do a feed. You know, we have like the hand towel things that feed it out.
Wave your hand by it.
Yeah, just wave your hand and it gives you the ample amount and you should be good. Mm. I'm so perplexed by this. Why this is still...
Why did you have this that you needed to share?
I don't know. It's just one of those things I wanted to throw out there because it's one of the mysteries of the world, just like the ghosts.
Okay.
There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Jenny writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. My story happened when I was 19. I was extremely rebellious and I took risks. I decided I wanted the advice of a psychic to instruct me on my future. I spoke to the psychic for about a month constantly. I was at a stage in my life where I was also very gullible and vulnerable. The psychic became more like an online boyfriend. He had convinced me he was falling in love with me and this is what my future held. I lived in New York at the time, and he directed me to leave home and come to him. Stupidly, I followed his directions. I hitchhiked from New York to California and finally made it to his home." This is where the story really begins. So this sounds like a beginning to one of those horrific Lifetime movies.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens next. D had me taking drugs. I never used drugs before or since that experience. We were mostly naked and smoking joints, and he was also inhaling something in a small jar. D turned to me and said he was being told to kill me. He explained a demon wants me dead and that the reason, that's the reason he played me. I stood up freaking, and he stood up, grabbed for me. In a very demonic voice, he said he was going to kill me and stuff my body in a box. He said he'd leave my body on the fairgrounds close to his home. He had me and whipped me around and struck me. Shocked and truly believing I was dead, I tried my best to fight back. I'm a small girl and this was a big man with a demon or something possessing his strength. D got me by the throat and began squeezing. I knew I had made a really epic mistake and I prayed my parents would forgive me as I struggled to get free. His cats came out of nowhere and began hissing and clawing him. One cat jumped up on the shelf above my head and clawed him in the face. He let go and I ran to the bathroom. I cried and sat against the door while he rammed it. I hoped he didn't hurt the cats that saved me, but I needed to get help from a human. I don't know how long I was in the bathroom before I heard Dee walk away. I heard the front door open and shut. I waited a bit before I left the bathroom, and Dee was gone, and I was as well. I ran into a cop checking out another home, and I told him my story. The cop brought me to the police station, and I called my parents to come get me. My parents were royally pissed, but at least I was alive to feel their anger. Thanks to those cats and luck, I'm here today. I'm sorry this is not the best written and shorter, but I hope you thought it was worth your time. Thanks, Jen. P.S. I really like you guys and am an EPP. Thank you and Jenny. You're great and I enjoy your opinions. Keep up the awesome work.
I think if I were her, I would always have a cat living with me.
Yeah, I think the cats are your friends.
Mm-hmm.
So was it an instinctual thing with the cats that they did that? Did something else come into play to make the cats do that?
You mean something good?
Yeah.
In a paranormal sense?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't think about that. I thought of more of the cats attacking the demonic whatever mm-hmm. was in the guy.
And was he demonic? You know, or just a crazy strong person?
I don't know.
I don't know. Very disturbing.
Yeah.
That's why you don't hitchhike across the country.
No.
The more you know. That's another one that you could hear. You know, one of the cast members of Friends give the quick 15-second version of that. What would the 15-second version of that even be? How can you summarize that story?
Don't hitchhike across the country, but if you do, make sure he has cats to attack him.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Aniston. You shouldn't hitchhike across the country because you may get attacked by a possessed man. Sometimes cats will save the day. Be nice to cats.
Okay.
That's how it would work. Just like that. Thanks for sharing your experience with us. Kristen writes in, hey, Tony and Jenny. My name is Kristen, and I'm from Las Vegas, Nevada. I've been listening to your podcast since the first 20-something podcasts were released. At one point, I just got too busy to listen to your episodes and fell extremely behind. A year and a half worth of episodes. On my way to school and while at home, I would listen nonstop just to catch up. Right now, I have about 26 left till I am all caught up. Love your show, and hearing all these stories made me want to finally share mine. Through this story, though the story may be long, I have been working it in my head for weeks, trying to remember everything the best I can. So this will be pretty descriptive. Growing up, I've always been obsessed with the paranormal. I'd always watch spooky shows, even when I was too young for it. When I was able to read, I would always check out the books about monsters, ghosts, and everything in between. Even to this day, I am still in love with these stories and encounters and have spent many hours listening and watching these tales. My first encounter with the paranormal was when I was about 5. I'm not completely sure if this counted as paranormal or not, but to this day I can still remember this vividly. I had a bright red metal bed frame that was rounded on both ends. Every night when I would go to sleep, I would have the same nightmare. All I can remember was a witch following me and terrorizing me. I'd wake up night after night with the same nightmare, which would make me sick right as I woke up. I vaguely remember telling my parents I couldn't sleep in it again. They gave that red metal bed frame to my cousin, who was a year younger than me, and got me a wooden one. Since then, I wouldn't have that nightmare until one night I spent the night at my cousin's house and slept in that bed while he slept on the floor. I had that same nightmare. I haven't asked him if he ever had any nightmares in that bed or not, but looking through family pictures, he had that bed frame for a long time. The second paranormal experience I had was what I think was caused after a near-death experience. I was about 11, and my uncle had a large barbecue grill and had to load it into his truck and drive it over to his parents' house. Since there was no furniture, dolly, or wheels on that grill, we had to drive it over. Those houses were literally right around the corner from each other. In fact, at my grandparents' backyard, if I looked over the corner wall, I could see my uncle's house. The walk from those houses would take 2 to 3 minutes. My two uncles were sitting in the front seats of the truck while I was in the back seat. They didn't decide to strap it in since it was right around the corner. They thought it would have been safe. We drove over slowly and carefully to the house as they hit a small bump that was enough to cause the grill to rock and tip over, breaking the rear window. In that split second of falling, I looked back watching it fall and immediately ducked and covered my head. There's no need to even look back because, hey, it was right around the corner. It'll be okay. But I feel something told me to look back. The reason why I've told you this is that because after that, it all changed for me. After that, I started showing symptoms of mild depression, which in later years became more severe. It could have been because of my hormonal changes that were going to happen. Who knows? After that, I started seeing shadow people. Started to feel like someone was watching me. I'd see them out of the corner of my eyes, or sometimes fairly clearly. I'd see them crossing through the hallways and through closed blinds. When my depression would get bad, I would see them more often and vividly. From outside my bedroom door, there's a window where you can see who is at the front door. The light outside our door would stay on overnight till around 6 in the morning, and then it would shut off. There have been plenty of times, day and night, when I've seen shadow people staring through the window, looking into my room. When I see them more frequently, I would shut my bedroom door and go to sleep. Still to this day, I see them. I've gotten some medication to help with the depression, along with seeing a therapist to help things out. They don't bother me, and I don't bother them. They never hurt me, which I'm thankful for. I don't mind having them with me. I'm going to be 21 in June, and I guess since I've been dealing with them for so long, I don't mind them. Once again, I'm sorry this is so long. It was described as well as I could remember. Thank you so much for reading my stories. I would love any insight from the both of you. Can't wait till I hear your feedback on your podcast. After I take care of a few personal things and start working, I got my first job last week and can't wait. I will become an EPP. Love your show so much, and it truly has helped me realize that I'm not alone. I have a safe community of people I can trust with these topics, and it's also given me the courage to write in. I'll be writing in soon with a story from my best friend and the house here that could have been haunted by something demonic. As soon as I can, I'll send it in. Thank you once again, Kristen from Las Vegas.
There's definitely something going on with that bed as far as having nightmares in it. And then when you change beds, not having them anymore,
mm-hmm.
but then you spend the night in that bed and then you have nightmares again.
Not a bunk bed.
No.
But a bed.
Mm-hmm.
All beds are now suspect. Why is that? I mean, I suppose it's a place we spend a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose if it's a hand-me-down bed of some sort or a used bed of some sort or you know, did it say it was used?
I don't know.
Or hand-me-down of some sort?
The original origin of it. I know that they gave it to the cousin, but mm-hmm. I don't know before that.
You know, I guess a lot of emotions can be expelled in a bed.
Mm-hmm.
Good and bad.
Yeah.
And we talk about objects in general that are close to people in proximity that seem to be more, you know, suspect to being haunted or carrying some sort of energy. I suppose a bed would be right there with it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's brand new.
Yeah.
And then you have to wonder what happened with the trees if it's wood.
I think it's metal.
I mean, so I don't know. I mean, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, why that is. And if it was just a Christian who was having those experiences, it'd be really interesting if she did ask the cousin
mm-hmm.
and found out, you know, did you happen to have a lot of nightmares? Then don't talk about the nightmare. Let them tell you what their nightmares were and see if it's the same one. Now, that would be very...
But then the cousin be like, yeah, how did you know? Well, gee, thanks for giving me that shitty bed.
Exactly. Cause a little riff in the family.
Yeah, that would be really good.
Maria writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I've been listening to you for a few months and decided I should write. I have many ghost stories, but I'm going to share to you a recent story that happened to my parents. My dad had seen a ghost before. However, my mom doesn't believe in it, and my dad is still pretty skeptical. Anyway, here's my story. May not be super scary, but it weirded me right out. My mom described the creepy story to me. My parents were asleep when suddenly they were both awoken by a woman's voice coming from the kitchen area. They both sat up and heard it again. She claimed it sounded like a girl on a speakerphone. They both jumped up to see if my sister came home, talking on the phone, but her car was not in the driveway, and the motion light was not on. They walked into the kitchen, and nothing. The dog wasn't barking and the outside was pitch black. No one else lives there except my parents and sister, hardly. My parents both turned their phones off at night and charged them, and when she checked on their phones, they were both still off. The house phone didn't ring and there were no messages, so it's hard to believe it was that either. Just wanted to get your thoughts. I told them it could have been a ghost, but of course they don't believe that. Just by the way, she described it as being so close to them makes it hard to narrow down. Anyway, thanks for putting on a great show. Maria in Michigan.
So it sounded like a girl talking through a speakerphone, and there was no girl there.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of makes me think of how the little girl on Poltergeist sounds when she's talking through the TV.
Yeah, that is kind of that sound.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's the only thing I can think of is something else that has a speaker on it that was getting some sort of transmission being picked up through it.
Mm-hmm.
Rare to happen. Can it happen? Yes. You know, it's like we were talking about the CB radios a while back and how those can sometimes come through an FM radio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very bizarre. It has that sound to it. But I'm saying that... Not to discount it being something paranormal, because it could be. I mean, could it be some sort of weird transmission being picked up? Sure. But I suppose it could also be something manipulating whatever that speaker is.
Mm-hmm.
Even the speaker on the phone, that could be something that's being manipulated.
Yeah.
There's a lot of possibilities there. Something was clearly audible coming through it. Was it paranormal? That's hard to tell. Is it a possibility? Sure. But... it's a rare occurrence for that to occur when it's not something of that nature. So, especially if it's not a common thing.
Sure.
Usually areas where this happens, it happens frequently because it's on the path of something.
Okay.
If it's not normally happening, that makes it even more odd. So, thank you for sharing that story and experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny, this is Trista. I'm actually a listener from Canada. And I plan to become an EPP soon. I've been listening since last October. I was in Chris 2 for some noteworthy stories. And I was scouring through different YouTubers that read stories they found on sites like Reddit and whatnot. And I stumbled across you guys. But anyhow, the reason I'm calling is I listen to the show and I think I've had so many paranormal experiences, but I can never think about something to call in with. And something happened, which I'm not going to get into right now. And it just, everything kind of came back to me. And since I was a young age, for no reason, I've just been extremely sensitive to the point where I can almost feel out an entity anywhere I walk in. Can't necessarily describe them in detail, but I can pick up things on gender and intention. Say if something's malicious, I can pick up on that. And... that's what I want to get to is when I was really young, I lived in this apartment building in a small town in a province here called Ontario, and didn't know the history of this building at the time. Small building, lived in the very top unit, and one night, couldn't sleep. I wasn't exhausted or anything. I was about 6 years old, and something just told me not to look into the corner of my room. And being the heavily stubborn person I am, I did. And I saw this figure about 6 feet tall in a white uniform. And I couldn't really distinguish his face because there was a metal guard on his face. And when I was at that age at the time, I thought he was a knight. I thought, there's something in the opposite side of the room that he's protecting me from. He's here to protect me. But something still told me I wasn't safe, so I hid under the covers. And I felt something get on a bed with me, and I just felt pressure. And I shut my eyes, and I tried to let it pass. But I just felt this weird static. And in about 30 seconds, it was over. And it took me about a couple minutes to regain my composure and whip the covers off my head, and nothing was there, and I was terrified, and I was so young, I just ran to my mother's room and just crawled in the bed with her and slept there for the rest of the night. And so I'd be hearing weird noises in the background in my bathroom. I'm in my bathroom because my mom's a sleeper. But when I was doing a project later in life, I found out the history about the apartment complex I lived in, and at one point it was a small asylum for the criminally insane, and at another point it was a place where nurses resided to, it was basically their housing quarters, but in one urgent situation, people were coming through there, and a few people died there because of the war. And basically, I was looking at photos, and something struck a chord with me. I was looking at this photo of a man, I said, that looks like something familiar, and it washed over me. This is similar to the figure I saw, but the person I was looking at was an imprisoned cannibal. So I was a little shocked, and I ended up moving back into that part of my building at an older age, not much older. I lived in the unit below it, but still it was rampant with activity, and I had a relative who lived in that apartment, and things were happening. You know, her grandson was getting harmed, so she was misguided by someone else, so she got a Ouija board, and things got so bad she actually had to save up and take from all her savings to move out. But I'll make this quick. So that was my story. It was one of the first and kind of one of the tamest run-ins I've had with potentially malicious entities. I don't really know how to word that. You didn't necessarily do anything malicious, but there was just, it felt dark intent there. That's one of two apparitions I've seen in my entire life. Everything else has been shadows or auditory, or just it feels like there's a disturbance in the air around me. But anyway, I love the show. I love listening to you guys. Tony, you're a very comical person. It's hilarious to listen to you and Jenny go back and forth. I really enjoy the show. I hope you guys do it for a very long time. And I will become an EPP soon. Thank you so much for your time. Bye.
I can't imagine any kind of good lingering energy from asylum for the criminally insane. That's hard for me to say.
Asylum for the criminally insane.
Yeah, you just scoot right through it.
And you say it real nice and fuzzy.
Oh, yeah.
Come visit the new asylum for the clinically or criminally. I fucked it up too.
You did.
Damn it. Come visit the new asylum for the criminally insane as we hold our annual Easter egg hunt.
Wow.
That'll go over well. Guess who's dressed up as an Easter bunny this year? So, no, I mean, I can't imagine that would ever be a good thing.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just bad energy all around.
Yeah.
And there's really no other way of putting that. It's just, you know, I don't think there's any way of summing up anything other than, yeah, there's bad energy there because of what it was.
Right.
And it probably will always be there. That's one of those things where even like, at some point, if the building is knocked down, you don't want to even put anything on that land. Like, it's probably just not going to be good for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like nuclear waste.
Wow.
You know, because it's just like, well, you know, we buried it here, and now nothing can live here because the half-life is, you know, a million years.
Okay.
Or something of that nature. Just the energy is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Of it's there. I don't know it's going away anytime soon, and I don't know that there's really any clear way of eradicating it with something like that.
Sure.
You know? So, anyway, thanks for the story. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey,
hi.
It's me, Jared, again from Fairbanks, Alaska. I don't know. Might want to use this for your... if you like to hear my stories? I'm not too sure. This is another... this is the... story I previously told you that you probably couldn't hear because I was walking. This one happened to me. It was getting dark here in Alaska, starting to get dark. It was starting to snow a little bit. I remember it was late night. I was staying up late. My mom was sleeping in the living room, and I was just sitting there, just sitting there watching TV, and all of a sudden, like in my room, I could hear what sounded like something scraping the window, basically scraping the window like the nails of a chalkboard, going right across it, very slowly across my window. And then it finally hit the wood on the side of her house. And then it went all the way into the back. And I could hear it. Like, I'm falling with my eyes, like, looking at it, like I'm looking at it. But, you know, I'm in the house. And it's, like, going. It goes right into, right, the scraping sound goes right into my parents' room. And then it stops the scraping. And then, like, right at the corner of where my mom's window's at, which is open, by the way, but I could hear something, because around our house is dry leaves, because we have the roof, so no snow can get around the house. I hear something step, and all of a sudden I hear right in front of my mom's window, and I'm sitting there on the bed just, like, in shock, or I don't know, I know I was terrified, and I was like, whoa. I was really scared, couldn't stop. That crunching sound stopped right in front of mom's window. And I don't know, I didn't want to look what was out there. I just know I was terrified. And I remember I just jumped up, grabbed the lever of the window. It's like there was a lever open. Grabbed the lever, and pulled it down, shut the window shut. And I just went into the living room and woke up my mom. And I just told her what happened. She said it was probably the wind, and she went back to sleep because she was really tired. She just got off ER, so she just got done working day shift. And I just went in my, I just sat in the living room. I just made sure the doors were all locked and everything. So I didn't know what was out there. And the crazy part is, in the back of our house, we have a lot of junk collected over the years, car parts, stuff like that, tires, and whatever this thing was, it had long arms or whatever, because it, you know, it touched the back of our house wall outside. So yeah, that was another terrifying event I had. And of course, you know, my mom woke up in the morning finally. I told her about it. I stayed up all night. I didn't want to sleep. I told her about it, and yeah, she didn't believe me. She thought it was just my imagination. I was having a bad dream. Again, if you want to hear more, I will put in more. I hope to hear this on the radio. Like I said before in my last story, hopefully soon I'll become an EPP. Been hooked in your guys' show. Absolutely love it. I got one of the coworkers here hooked onto it, so we listen to our Bluetooth headsets while we work on cars all day. So, hope to hear it. Bye.
When he was talking about the crunching sound, I could only think of the sound of snow when somebody's trudging through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me wonder, when it stopped right outside the mom's window, if, like, somebody was walking around out there. I would have wanted to know if there was footprints.
Sure. That, 'cause that's happened before.
Mm-hmm.
We've had that where everything from hooves to
yeah,
to boots to, you know, just, you know, I think there was one time where it was like 1 foot but not the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of those things to look at to try and see what exactly was going on. And sometimes there's absolutely nothing whatsoever. Nonetheless, very chilling story.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your stories with us. You can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Of course, if you like the show, you've been hearing a lot of folks talk about becoming EPPs. It's an extra podcast person. So you get the extra episode of the show every single week. All the bonus episodes, access to that, access to all of our video content and more. And it's only $5 a month, and that's what keeps our show on the air. So if you like this thing, consider setting aside $5 a month to help us do this thing and get all the extras that go along with it. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.